Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Well, Trump marks 100 days as president. I think marked it. Was it yesterday? And it's been as cataclysmic as I forecast. Indeed, many rational people saw this coming. Kamala Harris, evil bitch that she is, she was on the money when she said, all these Nobel laureates in economics have said that his economic plan is going to be disastrous, and so it has proved. It was all so predictable. The foreseeability of this Trump shit show makes people even stupider for voting for him. And all right, if you're a single issue voter, at least he has saved a few children. If you are super rich and extremely avaricious and want tax cuts, he's good for you. If you want to annihilate the Palestinians, well, I suppose he's delivering on that one. If you are a Putin puppet, well, you're probably pleased with him. But for most people, he's been very bad news. His hubris, his overconfidence, his aggression, his imbecility, his unwillingness to seek counsel, his cheerful disregard for objective reality, well, that hasn't changed one whit. Because I was reading about insanity the other day, and particularly schizophrenia, and what this is the belief in things which are flagrantly false. I mean, obviously there can be mass psychosis, and not believing that you're beautiful if you're not, because that's so subjective, or not believing that you're stupid if you're actually smart, because what's the cutoff line between the two? But things which are provably bogus. But here we go on with Trump, and then his complete disregard for evidence, and then you're just fire hosing people with lies. So why do we bang on about these 100 days? Well, obviously it goes back to Napoleon Bonaparte. His 100 days is actually slightly more, from his landing at Gardejuan on the 1st of March, 1815, when he escaped from Elba, where two had been exiled in 1814, and came back to take over France again, try and relaunch his empire, and then meeting his Waterloo at Waterloo. And his abdication, that was roughly 100 days. Or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he came into office on the 4th of March, 1933, his 100 days, various executive orders, getting Congress to pass various acts, taking action to arrest the terrible decline of the United States economy and turning around the US economy, therefore the global economy. And I know it was quite slow, but it was at least moving in the right direction, getting unemployment down. And getting economic growth going back again. So, in the US context, it was first spoken of like that. Tony Blair, 1997, and I abominate him. I was a day one reviler of Trump, not Trump, of Blair and all his evil works and all his empty promises. But he hit the ground running and he took some decisive action. He was wildly popular, the Britpop generation going on foot to the State Opening of Parliament, glad handing people. He said New Labour was in permanent campaign mode. He's now detested. It's hard to remember, if you weren't alive at the time, just how much Blair walked on water with these stratospherically high poll ratings. The political big tent was going to pull everybody in and seem so modern, so reasonable, was very media savvy. Was relatable, all the rest of it, the trendy vicar with his guitar. And although he was only, let me see, about 10 years younger than his predecessor, John Major, really he seemed like a century younger in his mindset and approach. But coming back to Trump, well, we only really have polling data that's remotely reliable from just after the Second World War, when Dr. William Gallup invented opinion polling as we know it. It was a very inexact science prior to that, and obviously it's got more and more accurate, but it can't be bang on accurate. You can only give absolutely accurate if you ask every single person, everyone answers you, everyone tells you the truth, nobody changes his or her mind and stuff like that. So you can only have a sample and try and make that as reflective as possible of the demographics. Anyway, so he's the second president ever to serve two non-consecutive terms. I'm trying to think, who was the last one? Was it Grover Cleveland in the late 19th century? So he's got a dreadful approval rating. He signed a blizzard of executive orders. He's only 44% approval rating. Okay, it's not quite as unpopular as he was in 2017. There he's talking about going for a third term, which obviously be blatantly unconstitutional, but unconstitutionality has never stopped him doing anything. He's refusing to bring people back who were illegally deported to other countries. And so he's going against the Supreme Court. That's a blatant breach of the Constitution, saying that the Supreme Court can't judge on constitutional matters. Yes, it most certainly can. That's what it's there for. In many other countries, it's called the constitutional court. There is no limitation to what he can and cannot do, and so on. So he is a convicted criminal, and like, what else would you expect? He's pardoned people who committed violent crime in the US Capitol on the 6th of January 2001, the Feast of Epiphany, but I'm sure as a pretended Christian, he wouldn't know what that is. He's damaged the US economy really fast. It's completely self-inflicted wound with these tariffs, which anybody could have told you was going to be very bad news. And then he has performed a bolt fast on that one. He doesn't have the courage of his so-called convictions. And yet there's still uncertainty, and goods were going to be delivered in the United States. They're not being delivered. He's moving into recession already. And everybody saw this one coming. He can't say that he wasn't warned. He surrounded himself with a camarilla of the most abject, craven sycophants, or say anything, do anything, just to be in his good graces and just to get the job title. Now, I know there's an element of sycophancy and conformity in any walk of life, particularly in politics. I'm afraid those reptiles who inherit the Trump White House just really are the lowest of the low. Well, they're absolutely invertebrate. So he's not really pro-business, and he's damaged the stock market and so on, which he regarded as the main metric of his success, his so-called Liberation Day. And then he's cutting funding from various US universities, which don't expel people for exercising their First Amendment rights, for people who are speaking out saying, uphold international law, uphold humanitarian law, Palestinians are human too, no more atrocities in Gaza, freedom for Palestine. No, he can't tolerate that. Deporting hundreds of students, foreign students who are legally in the United States, that's obviously damaged the whole US university sector. A lot of foreign students say, I'm not going to study in the United States because if I'm alleged to have exercised my right to free speech, even if I didn't exercise it, I could be booted out and lose tens of thousands, maybe thousands of dollars in my education. I've paid the fees, I've gone through 3 years of it, and then kicked out before I actually get a chance to graduate. I'm not going there. I'm going to go somewhere else. So he's wrecked America's reputation for freedom of expression and so on. So we see that the shrinking of the economy. He's obviously that the US deficit is going to get worse. So a lot of clever people are not going to the US because they might be deported, even though there's nothing wrong. He's broken up families by deporting foreign fathers and mothers. So much for family values. He's proved his inhumanity, his cruelty, his spite yet again. Now, xenophobes and rapists will obviously be hooting and stamping their feet in elation that he's caused so much grief to completely innocent people. He's betrayed the Ukrainians. He's tried to extort them. The Ukrainians are over a barrel. He's almost like another enemy to Ukraine to get all, 50% of all their mineral resources for years and no military guarantees in return. But obviously some rather pie in the sky, because which company is going to invest in this sector in Ukraine whilst the war is ongoing? No insurance will cover you in a war. Your employees could be killed. Any of your equipment, whatever, could be destroyed. You have to make a major investment to extract all these minerals and so forth. So it's rather idiotic. He's done very little to deter the Chinese. He's caused a rupture with NATO allies in Europe. He's been grossly offensive to Canada. This has really backfired on him. He might have had Pierre Poilievre come to office as prime minister, who's a progressive conservative, but no. He's wrecked it for a kindred party. The Liberals have won another term under Mark Carney, who's less in line with Trump's ideology. So that was really shooting himself in the foot yet again. So his imbecility, his decline into dementia is accelerating before our very eyes. So that is Trump. It was all to be expected. It's all avoidable. But, the Democrats have got to choose someone who's not so dislikable and evil, and maybe they'll have a chance next time. But I'm worried that Trump will die in office and J.D. Vance will get there, who's younger, who's definitely not demented, who may be just as vicious and actually even less sincere. He doesn't believe what he says. We know that because a few years ago, when he didn't think that Trump was going to get there, we heard what J.D. Vance really believes. But obviously now he's changed his tune just to be a double act with Trump. Right. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.